This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. It's already looking like a loaded show tomorrow with Brian Ray, Marty Turco, Bruce Bochy. We're bringing the guests for tomorrow, but don't worry. We still have plenty more excellence today as well as we get ready for Rangers Yankees, which you can hear right here on 105 Through the Fan. Is the Yankee series still a big deal for you? Like, Regardless of what the standings are, you're still like, God, I don't like the Yankees.
I won't. Now, I'll be very honest. The way that the New York fans are acting about sports right now is kind of driving me nuts. So I'm not really happy with. I don't like that, man. Don't throw things at people.
I get you. Okay, right now, we bring to you the man who knows everything about baseball. It is Rangers broadcaster Jared Sandler. Good morning, sir.
Guys, I got to let you know, I'm honored to be in the Mickey Spagnola 11 a.m. spot. This is a really coveted segment, and this is probably one of the greatest accomplishments of my career.
This is usually when you're listening to the program.
Yeah, this is his favorite time to listen.
Who don't know.
Right, yeah.
What? I was curious about this, and I realize he just got up to AAA. But Alejandro Osuna, what have you seen from his progression in the minor leagues? Obviously, they just moved him up to AAA. And do you think he's somebody that can be on the big club for real this year?
Yeah, I do. The two position player prospects I've been asked about the most are Alejandro Osuna and Sebastian Walcott. And they're two very different cases. Whereas with Walcott, just given his age, he'd have to like totally bust down doors to get up to the big leagues. Now in spring training, the idea was that this would be one of the best lineups in baseball. Maybe they get to that point, but that's not where they're at right now. And so I think the thought was, well, it's going to be one of the best lineups in baseball. It's going to be tough to crack. But I still think that he's got to just dominate AA and then get up to AAA and be a very good player in AAA for it to even be a consideration this year. With Alejandro Osuna, he doesn't need to, like, lead AAA in X, Y, and Z categories. I think, you know, just from an age standpoint and experience standpoint, it's a little bit different. And one of the crummy things is with our schedule and their schedule, I don't get to watch Alejandro Osuna a ton, but you know, I'll talk to people and ask, you know, how's this guy doing? What are things looking like? Cause the box score doesn't always tell the full story, but one of the things that I love looking at is the plate discipline metrics. So chase rate, strikeout to walk rate, because those are things that if you're not able to lay off of bad pitches in AAA, you're definitely not laying off of bad pitches in the major leagues. And if you're not able to have some level of plate discipline in AAA, it's not getting better in the major leagues. And I'm a big believer that, especially for young hitters, the young hitters who do a good job of putting themselves in positions to succeed are the ones who are going to have easier transitions. And for a team that is competing, not a team that's rebuilding, I think that stuff's important. If the Rangers were the Rockies, who cares, right? It doesn't matter. Let him take his lumps if you feel like he's ready to take his lumps. But if the Rangers are calling up Alejandro Osuna at some point this year, our hope is that he's going to be joining a team that's competing for a playoff spot, a division, whatever it might be. And so I think back to Evan Carter. What is Evan Carter's best quality, or one of his best qualities, is his plate discipline and his pitch recognition. And that's why when he got called up, it made sense. Because this wasn't a guy who you really were worried was going to just be, you know, wild, wild west cowboy swinging at everything for a team that was trying to get back on the tracks in September of 2023. So that's something I like about Alejandro Osuna. He's got good plate discipline. He's able to get on base without necessarily getting hot with the bat. And that's a big reason why I do think we're going to see him at some point this year.
Now, you might hate this question, but you did mention Evan Carter, and it might have just been another fluky injury, or does the very real concern have to be that perhaps his body is not set up for the rigors of a Major League Baseball schedule?
Yeah, it's a fair question, and I wish it's obviously a hot topic, because this is a guy who 2 years ago, we were all talking about after 2023, let's give this guy an extension. Hey, this yes. is the leadoff hitter of the future. He's going to be the center fielder of the future, all this stuff, right? And then last year was disappointing. Injury, you know, when he was healthy or when he was in the lineup, I don't know how healthy he was, but when he was in the lineup, the production wasn't there. And obviously, you know, he didn't stay in the lineup long because of the back stuff. I wish I had more of like an expertise to comment on this or to like have like a valid opinion. All I can say is, just like you guys, I mean, it's fair to wonder. Right now, I feel a little bit better that it's not the back.
Yeah.
You know that, and are these things connected? You know, I don't know. But I do feel a little bit better that it's not the back. And I spoke to Evan. I mean, I'll tell you guys, Evan was supposed to join us for a fun segment on the pregame show. And then he, like, you know, we talked, he's like, hey, it might not be the best time. He's like, I think, you know, I'm going to be scratched from the lineup. This was before it all came out. And I was like, oh, you know, crap. Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I honestly feel great. But the thought was, in his mind at that time, this was on Saturday. He'd sit Saturday facing the lefty on Sunday. So he'd sit Sunday, off day Monday. He'd get 3 days and then be ready to go today. But, you know, whether it was just the need to get a fresh body and the fact that the IL is only 10 days now, not 15 for a position player, or maybe things didn't check out as cleanly as they would have liked. I don't know. But I can tell you that he felt good, which is a good sign. But obviously there was something that said, no, you know, we need to sit him down. He's not ready to go. And yeah, it is a concern because, you know, this guy, when he's healthy, as we've seen already this year, can help this team.
Yeah.
I want to look at New York a little bit this week, Jared. Obviously they're playing, so that's important. But those two pitchers that are pitching the last couple games in the series, Eovaldi and DeGrom, this is a stage for them. This is a great opportunity for us to see what they can do again. But the rest of the team has to be there for them.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I think there are two things that are really disappointing about the Astros series. One, you know, you win the game, DeGrom pitches, and then you feel great. Eovaldi gives you 5 2/3 shutout, and you don't win that game, yeah. Right? You know, you feel like, especially when you're struggling offensively or trying to get in, you know, they're not struggling like they were a few weeks ago, but they're not, the consistency isn't there like you'd like it to be. You need to win those games. The other thing was that just the fact that the two losses come from behind wins for the Astros, blown leads for the Rangers, however you want to characterize it. And the Astros just, they're not, you know, the Rangers obviously are similar record as the Astros. They're a half game back with the Astros winning yesterday, but the Astros are not they're not what they were. And it should be a team that you start to take advantage of. The Yankees are not that group. The right. Yankees are, you know, a lot more talented. So if you get good starts from those guys, you got to take advantage because you're not going to have many opportunities against the Yankees where four runs can win the game. And those guys put you in a position where that might be, you know, a realistic possibility. But yeah, it is, you know, Eovaldi obviously pitched for the Yankees. The big stage has never been an issue for him, and right. It's going to be cool for Jacob. I hope he pitches at Citi Field later this year when we go to New York in September to face the Mets. But it's going to be his first time pitching in New York since leaving. And so that'll be cool for him. And, you know, hopefully it's, you know, I know that will be meaningful for him, and, hopefully he continues to do what he's been doing, which is, you know, pitching really well. Now he has been the one guy who largely has gotten run support, even if it wasn't necessarily the case in his last start, but, hopefully the bats can continue to score for him and everyone else, because it's tough when you look at how good this starting pitching's been and what the record is. Obviously you feel like there've been some wins left on the table for sure.
Well, that was the next part of that with DeGrom. What are you seeing with him? Has he changed how he pitches, or is he his old self again? Cause I feel like I'm seeing something a little different from him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that he's the exact same guy he was when he, you know, won back-to-back Cy Young Awards and was, you know, almost unanimously considered the most dominant pitcher in baseball. You know, there are certain metrical things, like, you know, the release point's a little bit different from a degree standpoint. His slider is getting ground balls at like a super high rate. I think the highest since maybe the second year of his career.
Wow.
It's just got a little bit of a different shape to it, and hitters are responding differently. And the other thing too, Corey, is, you know, when DeGrom won his Cy Youngs in, what was it, 18, 19, or I think it was 18, 19 or 17, 18. I get it confused. I think it was 18, 19. He was throwing a similar velocity to what he's throwing now with his fastball, but more guys are throwing that now. So 98 now is not what it was then. That's not to say it's not good. I mean,
it's still great.
Look at the results. What's that?
It's still great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still great. But I think you see different behavior from hitters because it's not as much of an outlier. The word outlier is so huge when you talk to a lot of these pitching coaches and they're trying to find a little edge here or a margin there. It's all about outliers. You know, the split finger is an outlier pitch, or Hobie Milner's release point, that's an outlier release point. And it's just things that hitters don't see a lot of. You know, if the idea of it third time through, the advantage goes to the hitter, is not just some random like, oh, third time through. Yeah, of course. It's based on the fact that they have now seen the pitcher, that their stuff in that moment, that, you know, hour, 2 hour stretch is not as much of an outlier as it was first time, second time they faced them. Similar concept with pitching. So I think he's had to go about things differently. But I think what makes him so special is his command is so good that he is going to be a very good pitcher. And we have started to see over the last several starts, the level of dominance you expect out of Jacob DeGrom, even if you're right, Corey, it doesn't look exactly like that Venn diagram. There's an overlap,
yeah,
but there are parts of each circle that are independent of one another, representing what he is now versus what he was 5-6 years ago.
What is going to happen with Chris Martin?
Well, that's a good question. We'll find out today. I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad that it was a shoulder this time, not the elbow. You know, it was the elbow a few days ago that led to the early exit against was a Colorado. And then the exit on Sunday was due to the shoulder. I'll tell you this again, not a doctor, but I feel like I've seen enough of this stuff to where it's a greater than zero chance that there is some sort of relation between the two.
Yeah.
Not I'm not guaranteeing it. But I just got to believe that second time within a, what, 4-day stretch, 3-day stretch, where you leave after one pitch, I'd be surprised if he avoided an IL stint. Maybe he will. Maybe it's just another scare for an older guy who's got some mileage. But the Rangers might also say, hey, let's nip this in the bud. It might not be super serious. Let's nip this in the bud. Let's sit you down for 15 days and let's get you back right, you know, on that mound. Because they absolutely need him. They, you know, that guy has been so good for them. He and Robert Garcia, who I know gave up the home run to Paredes, but both those guys sub-2 ERAs this year, they have been so, so good. We always like to focus on the ninth inning, but you got to get there first. And with the amount of close games the Rangers have played, those guys have had a pitch in a lot of high leverage situations. And so, yeah, I don't know anything more than that, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a roster move, just if for no other reason to play it safe, but obviously bracing for the possibility that there is something that might warrant not just an IL stint, but maybe a little more time, you know, to sit down and get right.
Now, you were talking about the bullpen, and you know the nature of it. It's just like being a kicker in the NFL. When something bad happens, they're the worst. We got to get rid of them all and switch up the bullpen and everything like that. But I mean, I feel like the numbers back this up. The bullpen has done a pretty darn good job this year, have they not?
Yeah, no, the bullpen has. And again, you think about this bullpen has thrown more close game situation innings in the seventh, eighth, and ninth than a lot of bullpens, most bullpens. I know at one point it was more than any other bullpen, you know, games that are have a margin of one run. I think when the Rangers, like a couple weeks ago, I think they had like 6 more bullpen innings in those situations than anyone else. And that is a lot tougher than when you're pitching in a 5-run game, right? It's just, you know, common sense. And so, the bullpen has been really good. Now, is it fair to ask, hey, is this the bullpen? Is this the group that's going to carry us through the season? Are these guys in the roles that are going to remain, you know, from start to finish? I think that's a fair question, right? If you want to ask, hey, is Luke Jackson going to be the closer from start to finish? That's a fair question. I do think that one thing that, you know, the front office did was elevate, we've talked about it, elevate the floor of the bullpen. I mean, you look at guys like Sean Armstrong and Jacob Webb, Hobie Milner, guys who are not your top three, right? Your top three, it's been Garcia, Martin, Jackson, right? Those are the guys who they're going 7, 8, 9. But you look at the work of Webb, Armstrong, and Milner, I mean, the Rangers haven't had that in years. You know, guys who are outside of that top three who can pitch and leverage situations. And so the bullpen has definitely been really.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
They're good. Have they given up some leads? Absolutely. But, you know, I go back to, I'll ask the question, how many of those leads have they given up where the Rangers have 7 runs on the board?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or are they giving up leads where the Rangers end the game scoring 3 runs or 2 runs or whatever it is? And at some point, yeah, you know, the turning point, as Gavin Dawson likes to ask, might have been when the lead changed hands. But really, you take a step back and say, well, scored 3 runs, right? Let's do better, and let's not even put it in the hands of the bullpen to have to protect yet another 1-run lead. So I go back to that. I think this group has done a really nice job. Can they improve? Absolutely. Would I like to see Emiliano Teodo at some point? Yeah, I would. Robbie Ahlstrom? Yeah. Trade deadline? Probably going to be an area of acquisition. It is for every contending team, but this is a group that is way stronger than a group the Rangers have had in the bullpen for the last several years.
Hey, Jared, why did the Big 12 baseball championship get demoted?
Yeah, good question. Good question.
What happened? What did I miss?
It's being sent to the Texas Rangers spring training ballpark instead
of... Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes!
Oh, I had no idea. That's crazy. Do you guys know? I mean, I know you're asking, but do you guys know why?
No, we don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, I just know it's going to happen for next season, and it's been at Globe Life Field for what, like 4 years?
They might be moving the Katy Perry concert that weekend to there. You know, so that might be it.
No, you don't think that, do you?
I think that's what's going on.
All right, well, Jared, if you could investigate,
interesting,
why the conference tournament got demoted, we're really curious.
Yeah, that's sad stuff right there.
All right, thank you very much, Jared. Yeah. You sound really sad. See you later.
Later, man.
There's Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm telling you, man, I can count on one hand the number of baseball-based questions we've ever asked. And he's like, hold on, what? Yeah, no way.
Never, yeah, very rare.
I don't care what level of baseball.
He's got some answers.
Yeah. It's like if you ask Carter, oh, did you see that Division III football team in college? And he's like, oh, yeah, you mean the Mountain Men. And you're like, whatever.
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
The question of the day, plus a great welcome to the NFL story next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Note to us, tomorrow, don't ask Bruce Bochy if the rotation is sustainable. Because I was reading an article from MLB.com and Dallas Morning News where it feels like he got asked that question like 5 different ways. And he's like, I mean, I've had really good staffs before. I feel like I have a good idea of what's sustainable. And then like, he was like, we've already played a lot of games. Feels like it can be sustainable.
So I know we have a lot to talk about regarding the Yankees series with him.
Yes.
I was watching yesterday a video of Zach Cain's no hitter, his perfect game.
Okay.
And Buster Posey catch it, and they were talking about it. And I was kind of curious. I have some questions. You know, I want to know a little bit about his history with no hitters, and you know how many he's seen. I don't know how many he's seen, and how many you've been. Were you ever there for no hitters before you were a player? You know, did you see that as a fan? And do you root for the no hitter, or do you root for your team?
Because I've never seen a major league no hitter in person.
I bet as the manager, he's like, no, I absolutely root for them to wreck it. You know, yeah. I'm just like,
yeah, that would be weird if he was like, Yeah, we were losing 7-0.
It's so kind of nice to see something special.
The hell with it. I hope we go down in flames. Right now, a segment that never goes down in flames. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Just got flipped off by Kevin Hagelin. That's how we start AM on the FM.
How dare
right
you?
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Corey gives me a thumbs
Who's
up.
This?
Thanks, Corey. I appreciate that. I needed that motivation today. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line.
Do you support the thumb?
I mean, whenever it's being used in a nice manner.
One
yes.
for the thumb, baby. That's what we're always trying to get, right?
Yeah, as long as you don't do the Dave Bautista, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, and then you know, like power bomb me or something.
Some thumb or all thumb?
Just continue your segment, Alec.
My name is Alec Medford, the man they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. We'll get to the question of the day here in just a moment. Plus, a great welcome to the NFL story that was caused by a former Dallas Cowboy. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But speaking of Mansfield, this Friday, Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour. It's going to be at Firehouse number 3, 3100 East Broad Street in Mansfield. They're going to be giving away a one-of-a-kind Sean and RJ t-shirt and free breakfast from Whataburger. So go check them out. 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. out there in Mansfield.
Power rank the reasons you personally will go to get the t-shirt, to get the breakfast, or to show up Peyton because you can be there and he can't.
That's really tough. I'd put the t-shirt at 1.
Okay.
Because I do love free giveaway items, but specifically clothing. It's always cool. And it looks like a really nice shirt too. Then I'd probably put showing up Peyton right there in the middle, and then Whataburger breakfast. It's not a shot at them. It's just, you know, dunking on Peyton is probably number one in my heart all the time. Corey?
We just got a text from the 817 that says, "Hi, Chad. This is Jody with Farmers Insurance. We're working on a quote for your home and auto. Would you prefer a text, email, or call you with the numbers and coverages? Also, are you more concerned about lower premiums, et cetera, et cetera?" How do we respond?
I would like you to respond like this, if possible.
Okay.
You can call me if it's okay if I record and broadcast the call. Because we have to get authorization for
that.
And if they say it's fine, then I think we have fulfilled all the FCC requirements on that.
Oh, yeah. That's
do I need
kinda
to
intrigued.
Put my name Corey also? Or
I probably would.
All right.
Just to really be sure.
Let's see. That's not the same number.
Sorry for the interruption there, Alec. I just felt like that was important.
No, that needs to be shared.
Chad and Jody.
I feel like that happens a lot to this show specifically. People texting the wrong number.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. It's intriguing. Anywho, the question of the day, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know why this came up. It might have been hearing Jacob Fatu speak. It might have been just some of my physical shortcomings. What is something that you physically can't do that you wish you had the ability to do?
Jump out of a bed of a truck.
Run fast.
That's oddly specific.
I feel like jumping out of the bed of a truck right now is just... I'm terrified what it's going to do to my knees, you know, at this age.
But in your idealistic situation, would you just be able to like roll with it and just pop right back up
like
on your
grills,
feet?
Like, yeah. You got to do it like a coil. When you spring back up. I mean, I kind of just want to, land in like a superhero pose and the ground, you know, like, you know, and dust kind of comes up and everybody's like, oh my gosh.
See, even when I lost all of the weight, I wasn't fast. Brandon is not fast. Early looks at Noah are that he's not going to be fast. And I just always wished that I was fast and I could run fast.
Yeah, that's a solid one for me because I came up from a running background. And obviously I've never been the biggest guy on the team. So it was a lot more difficult for me to pick up my stride and actually run fast. So it took a lot more work than the kids that were like, I remember eighth grade track. We had some kids on the team that were already like 6'1". And it's like,
wow.
It's like, that's not even fair. You can sprint at maybe 60% effort and still win the 100.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm running at 115% effort and I'm still 3 strides behind you. That's not fair. 'Cause I was all of what, like 5'2" in eighth grade. That's not fair. So I'm kind of right there with you. But another one that for me sticks out, I wish I could roll my R's.
Oh.
That's I can't roll
really?
My tongue. Yeah, I can't roll my tongue at all.
Bidia.
Yeah, I have to do it that way. I have to cop out. I have to replace it with I don't know. Like, it doesn't work for me.
Puerto Rico.
I don't think you're doing that right.
I used two R's. I rolled from one word to the next one with it.
I feel like Alan could probably figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hold on. Okay, then, Alec. Show me an explanation of your R's.
I mean, it's the same exact thing.
What a question.
Yeah. I didn't think I would ever hear that. It's the same exact way that you do it. Like, it's embarrassing. That, to the point
embarrassing?
Where
stop it.
Yep. Just dunking all. See, it's one of those things that I hear people actually use it in a sentence, like effortlessly. They're not trying to like show up anyone or anything. They just say it. And I'm like, every time, just kind of shake my head. Like, it's one of my shortcomings in life.
Yeah. The 469. How about being able to walk up a couple flights of stairs without breathing heavily? It doesn't matter if you're even in good shape or not. It's impossible. Yeah.
I mean, that's why they have a stair machine. They're like, we made this difficult on purpose.
Yeah, and you see like 25 minutes on it. I'm like, well, maybe I'm not getting to that hour like RGK said or whatever. What's his name?
Who?
Jake FJK?
MJF.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah.
You ever feel
very,
like...
Very memorable name.
I know the processed foods get a lot of blame for this, but do you ever think people used to just be in better shape because we didn't have elevators or escalators? You just had, like, hey, they live on the sixth floor. You got to carry all that crap up there. You got to go back down. So, like, I'm not saying the food's not responsible as well, but we used to...
We had to walk more.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Kevin, against your point, I've been doing the Stairmaster 30 minutes a day at minimum every day. Those stairs outside of Dickie's Arena still whoop my ass every single time. Why are they so steep? And why do they have a lip to where you can easily trip going up some concrete stairs? They're beautiful. They're great to look at, but they can injure you. I don't like this.
Yeah, make it an escalator or make it nothing.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah. I agree with that.
Do you get on the speed walk ramp at the airport?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just more fun.
And I want you to walk on that ramp.
You want?
Look, I'm sorry, Alex.
You walk on the escalator too, though, don't you?
Yes. It's to increase your efficiency.
This is why I'm glad I'm in the front. Every time we get on the escalator, I'm in the front and Kevin has a weight on me.
That's true. Look, here's all I want to request on the speed walkway. First of all, if you're like really walking, it feels so cool when you walk off of it. You're like,
it does. It does.
But also, like, look at the guidelines. I think you're supposed to, you know, walk
stay
on
the right.
Stay the right.
Stay to the right if you want to stand.
Okay.
Walk on the left.
Really get to the right though. Don't put like one of your feet over to the right and then your bags and the rest of your body are taking up the whole walkway. Like, get over.
Huh. You got a really defiant stance on this. I don't like it.
I just, like, those people saw the sign, and they're like,
move out of the way, jackass!
And they, like, kind of pretended like they were going to do it, and I was like, come on.
I like this. From the 817, thank you, Alec. Dickies is a death trap. But not their barbecue.
I guess, Stairmasters are way easier than real stairs because it's propelling itself. Like, you're pushing yourself. It's and it's pushing away.
You don't have to deal with the elements of real stairs. Yeah. Like, are all those stairs perfect? Did some rain get into that garage or wherever you were?
That's a great point. And the Stairmaster at my little community gym, it feels like its max speed is about a quarter of every other Stairmaster's max speed.
Oh.
So it's like, am I really getting the benefit here? It's weird. It's really odd, and I kind of hate it, and it makes me want to go back to the real gym to use a real one, because I remember I went to Lifetime with my buddy Michael. He had, like, a day pass. I went onto their Stairmaster, and I was like, yeah, I usually do, like, full speed, and he was like, I dare you to try full speed on these. Went full speed, almost fell and busted my face open, so that, you know, I kind of wish we had a real Stairmaster there. Get it together, Grand Prairie. Jeez. But keep those coming in, 877-881-1053. Yeah, that was a shot at the HOA. The one physical thing that you wish you could do that you can't do, keep those coming in. But I was scrolling on TikTok, the old doom scroll, last night, and I found this clip from the New Heights pod with the Kelce brothers. They had Andrew Whitworth on the show, and two offensive linemen, and Jason Kelce and Andrew Whitworth were kind of talking, and They were talking about their welcome to the NFL moments, and Jason Kelce's actually came at the hands of one Jay Ratliff.
My welcome to the NFL moment, nobody really knew it happened but me and the guy that I was blocking.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there were no sacks.
Well, that's how our life is, yeah. Right? Nobody knows anything.
So I'm going into, I'm a rookie, I'm playing Dallas. They're running a 3-4, so a lot of 5-0 calls, and they got Jay Ratliff at nose guard.
Yeah.
Quick little jitter bug. And I never played a nose guard, head up, didn't know how to pass at it. Howard Mudd's trying to teach me it midweek, and I'm like trying to figure this out. And I am having a rough one. Like, I don't know how I haven't given up a sack. He's beating me for like 4 pressures.
Who's the quarterback?
The quarterback would have been Michael Vick. That's probably how I did it.
There you go.
There it is. Now we know.
The game is 3/4 over. I've been having an awful night, and I get called for holding. And I think it's a call. I'm yelling at the ref. That's not holding. And I look over at Jay. I'm like, you know that wasn't holding you. And he's like, son, I've been whooping your ass all night. I figure I earned one of those.
Another great.
That's good.
I love the welcome to the NFL stories, but especially ones that were caused by Dallas Cowboys. Those are pretty fun.
That is tremendous. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are you ready for some flag football?
Yeah.
Next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're hoping to hear from Brian Schottenheimer, the Cowboys head coach. He's scheduled to have a press conference at 11:45. Mike McCarthy was always late to these things because he had no attention to detail. So we'll see how it goes for Brian Schottenheimer. In the meantime, time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
For the record, I believe in Schottenheimer. I think he can get this done.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
And fairly close on time. Let's start with flag football.
Flagtober.
Apparently, that's true. It's only 5 months away. The resolution allowing NFL players to participate in the 2028 Olympics is expected to pass. There are already some people like John Harbaugh who are like, having Lamar Jackson. Oh, he's ready on time. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Shoddy right here on The Fan.
Good afternoon. Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. How important is it doing these voluntary sessions that you get your veteran guys here at 90% or whatever percentage you're looking for?
Well, I think they set the example for the young guys. I think that's part of it. I see these young guys as they're sponges, right? They're trying to figure out not just, hey, where do I stay? Like, how do I eat when I leave here? So they're trying to do that. So then when they're here, we try to not always partner them up, per se, with a veteran, but get them to where they can lean on those guys. We have the guys talk to them about different things and routines. So it's obviously voluntary. It should be voluntary. These guys have things that come up. There's nothing more important than taking care of their families and things like that. But really pleased with the turnout. And when the guys have been here, they're working their asses off.
Micah indicated that you approached him and said, I need you here. Now, obviously, he can't be 100%. Why did you feel like that was important?
Well, the first couple of days, what we were doing some, you know, team building things, some culture. We've spoken very openly about trying to create one of the greatest cultures in professional sports. Micah is going to be a leader for us. Micah wants to be a leader for us. He's going to do that. And so I felt like it was really important for him to be here to begin that process. And again, it's a voluntary camp, but the fact that he did that means a lot to me. We've been really spending a lot of time this offseason trying to support one another, not just me and Micah, but, you know, going to different events and functions and foundation dinners. OSA's had his. Buddy Johnson, you know, football camp. Tyler Smith has a football camp. I think if you look at the turnout that we're getting, it's been really high, and that's because we talk about it and we want to support one another. We're a family. And so when people have something like a foundation dinner event, they have a football camp, if it's important to them, then the objective and the goal should be to have as many of your family members there as possible. And of course, I'm speaking about our teammates.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys. Couple of things, just piggybacking on the Micah situation. Is he here today, and is he participating in drills or just meetings?
Yeah, he showed up a little bit the last couple of days. He's been in and out some. I don't know if he's here yet today. He was here yesterday, had a great actually had lunch with him yesterday. Again, when he's here, he's been great. And again, it's just, you know, it's all voluntary. So when guys are in and they're out, some guys come to meetings, some guys come to practice, some guys are just here getting treatment and things like that. And that's not just specific to Micah. It's specific to all the guys.
Secondly, we haven't talked to you since the George Pickens trade. Can you just talk about the importance of him, how he fits? Does he have a defined role? And I know Will talked yesterday about how you were a big part of keeping that thing going and making sure it happened.
Yeah, I think CD said it best. I saw his comments, right, where we don't have a one. We don't do A's and B's. We think that there's a one over there, as CD said it. And if you look over there, there's a one there. So I think that's the way that we view GP. My time with him has been just incredible. When he came in after the trade, just getting a chance to really get to know him. We had a little free throw shooting competition. I think he beat me twice. I've beaten him once, but the last time we played, I beat him. So I do want to put that out there that I did beat him. But it's really just, you know, us getting to know each other. I think we were all on board. You know, I think we're always trying to find the right pieces and good pieces. And I think we're really excited about what he brings as a football player. But I see a guy that's maturing. I see a guy that we're excited to put out there and watch him grow and get better. And you guys will see him out there today. He obviously is a tremendous athlete, but I love watching him in meetings, because in meetings he's been so dialed in, taking great notes. He knows he's a little bit behind, not a lot, but a little bit behind in terms of what the veterans are doing. But his intentionality in the meeting room has been really cool for me to see.
Thank you.
Brian Tallarch with ESPN. Okay, the free throw shooting contest. Where, when, how, where, how do you do this?
Anywhere and everywhere. We do some things in the team room. We do some things in my office. QBs, I just lost to the QBs in my office. Actually, Dak was my teammate, so I guess Dak lost too. He'll be mad that I told you guys that. Yeah, it's just the central theme of the program is compete every day. And so we find different ways to do it. We look at, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, congratulations to the Stars. I think that's, you know, really cool for Dallas professional sports, what they're doing. So at some point in a team meeting, we might, you know, shoot at some goals with a hockey stick and maybe a soft puck, not a hard puck. But we look at different ways to compete, and we did something for the Masters the other day that was pretty cool. Had a putt-off. But get these guys in different types of environments and ask them to do different things. And it's fun to watch these world-class football players that absolutely suck at shooting free throws. I mean, literally, like, I'm not going to say names, Osa, that really was not very good. It's fun to watch these guys compete and get outside their comfort level, but to try to one-up each other.
Another guy we've not asked you about much maybe is Joe Milton. What are your first impressions been of him, being around him, and what do you envision of him this year?
So excited about Joe. I was excited about Joe before we got him. Same thing. Here's a guy, when you go into these deals and you're talking about making trades, and, you know, we all reach out to people that you know, people that you trust, people that have been exposed to said player at college, different programs, friends that have been around him, and you just dig and you ask and you get different opinions, and there's always an outlier, good and bad, with each of them. You try to peel those away. But from the time he's been here, the work ethic is incredible. He's one of the first people in the building. He's one of the last to leave. The way he's attacked the playbook and picking it up has been incredible. And it's been fun for me to watch Dak and Will, but really Dak, take a mentorship role with Joe. The talent speaks for itself. You guys will see it today. He made some incredible throws yesterday. He's just an exciting young prospect that I think the sky's the limit for.
John Machado with The Athletic. When you take over as head coach, you know, the offense looks a certain way on paper. And now since then, you've added guys, free agency, the draft, obviously George. From an offensive play caller standpoint, like, what do you think of when you're looking at this offense on paper right now?
I love our balance. It's a great question, John. I love our balance. I think you look at what we did from a free agency standpoint, bringing in Miles and Javonte and Rob Jones on offense. We weren't done with that. Move in the first round and take Tyler Booker, who we're really excited about. I need to find out if the Turtles are here. I don't know if the Turtles are here. I need to ask him that. But getting GP was big for us. But, again, it speaks to competition. We're trying to create competition at every level. What makes Dak Prescott better? Joe Milton. What makes CeeDee Lamb better? George Pickens. What makes Jaden Blue better? Having Javonte Williams. And so I think as you look at what we're doing, Jerry and Steven and Will have done an incredible job of creating that competition across the board at multiple spots. And that's what you're going to see today. You know, you'll see guys that are taking first team reps. Are they the starters? No, they're just taking first team reps today. Do we change it up? Of course we do, you know, because we're all about creating competition. And so I think, you know, I see a unit that's got a ton of playmakers and pieces, but we're going to go based on how our offensive line goes. And they're going to play really, really physical. They're going to be tone setters, if you will, and that's very exciting.
And then with Dak, what do you expect him to be able to do this week on the field?
He looks good. He's again, you guys will see him out there today. He's doing his normal stuff. He's getting most of the work with the ones. We're rolling some guys through there, but you'll see him. He looks good, and I think he's progressing nicely.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. Brian, what are you looking for from these running backs? Are you, you know, is it, are you leaning more maybe towards by committee at the start, or what have you seen in the early goings from you and some of the rookie guys too, like Jaden and Phil?
Yeah, it's too early to tell. I think last year we went into it thinking, you know, it was going to be by committee, and then at the end of the year we changed that. I think it's really early. We want these guys to compete. The thing we know about Javonte and Miles, right, they've been there. They've done that. They've both had very successful seasons. They have a little bit of a head start because they've been here since the start of phase one, so they're a little bit ahead of Phil and Jaden. But when you look at what you see from Jaden and you see from Phil, you see that it's going to be a really fun offseason, a fun training camp. But again, I think I've said this in here before, like you're not going to find out much about running backs watching them compete in shorts. Like it just, you know, it's not how the game is played. So we won't really know. I think the numbers were 68 days away from our first training camp padded practice. And so, you know, it's one that you have optimism, but you also don't get too far ahead of yourselves when you're talking about the running back position. And again, I'd be remiss for not talking about Hunter Lepke. You know, here's a guy that, you know, he's playing some one back for us. He's playing some fullback. He's playing some tight end. And all he does is do everything well.
Nick Harris for Star Telegram. When it comes to competition this early in offseason program, is there anything a guy can really do to separate, or is it really just kind of looking at tenacity and things like that on the field?
I think it starts – the answer to the question is the way we're limited with what we can do in terms of contact and stuff, which I'm okay with. It's more about the understanding from the mental aspect of the plays and the system. And you'll see our guys, you know, we talk about having competitive practices, not combative practices. You're not allowed to have combative practices. You know, the league, the NFLPA and the league has made that very clear to us. So we're competing every day to throw the best practice of anybody in the National Football League. And yesterday was a good start. Today, you know, we'll see how we do today. But, again, at the end of the day, to me, it starts with the first thing with our identity as a football team is we want to play smart. So when we look at today going into OTA 2, how did we handle the OTA installation? How do we handle the carryover stuff from yesterday that we apply today, now moving into a third down day, which you guys will see us working that situation today. It's more of that, because you talk about intensity and things like that. You got to be mindful of that as a coach. And I can't ask these guys to go too far. So you have to teach them how to practice. I've said it, I'll say it again, like what's going to separate us, in my opinion, is the way we practice. And right now we're practicing in an OTA format, which means there's limitations to what you can do. But it doesn't mean we can't do it better than anybody in the world.
Garrett.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Brian, you
cornerback was one of the positions where you made a lot of offseason additions. How do you feel about the health of the position, where it's at now, and who will actually be able to participate at this point in the offseason program?
I feel good about it. You know, I think the draft was big for us with Savone. I think, you know, we wanted to, you know, add some depth at that spot. Kyir Elam has been just awesome for us. We do a thing where we kind of monitor the top speeds each week that our guys have hit in phase two out there running, and he's had one of the fastest times each week, which is great. Trayvon, Duran, you know, getting Kalen Carson back, you know, he's moving around a lot better now. I feel like, you know, again, we won't put timetables on the injured guys, but I think you'll see early on in training camp that the depth should be there for us.
Saad, he's the Athletic. Hey, Brian. You've talked about culture a lot the last few months. Just curious, when you acquire a guy like George Pickens, who has some question marks in that regard, where he's coming from, how do you integrate him and how do you make sure it's a smooth transition?
Well, I think we did a ton of research into GP. Again, my interaction with GP has been incredible. I think he's going to fit in awesome with what we're trying to do here. You guys have talked to him, I think, over the phone, and he's all about, you know, a new opportunity. So, you know, we all change. We all adjust. We all grow. I'm thrilled with the way the guys have responded to him. Again, him and CD. It's a chance for he and CD. They've trained together. They're spending time together. I don't know what event they were at the other day where, you know, they were some baseball game or something, but – when we did our homework on GP, we don't have those concerns, and we're bringing him into a culture that we feel like he'll thrive just like everybody else. Why? Because it's important to us, and we're going to get to know him and learn his story, just like we're learning the stories of Solomon Thomas and you know, David Overstreet and everybody else.
And when it does come to culture, how important is Dak just to the entire operation of you setting that tone the way that you want to?
We want Dak to play quarterback to the best of his ability. He's a great culture piece because he's such a good dude, you know, and he's such a great teammate, and his story is incredible. But when you talk about culture, it's more than just one guy, and that's what I think I'm so excited about with all the new pieces that we've added. And it probably sounds coach speak, but it's really not. We've added all these new pieces. So it's our job as a coaching staff to get these guys to – hang out together outside of the building, spend time together in the building, get to know each other. Coaches get with their players, go to dinner, do things together. Because we have to learn each other's stories and each other's scars so that we can truly learn how to work together and love one another and support one another. We're all going to have good days and bad days, and that's not just something we talk about. It's something we do. You know, I take a lot of these guys to dinner. Why? Okay? It's important to me. Do I have things I could be doing? Of course I do. But there's nothing more important than me getting to know some of these players.
Skylar.
Skylar Dixon with the AP. You're kind of jumping into the deep end on the business of football, and in your debut as a head coach with Mike, the situation, I just kind of wondered your philosophy with that. Is that something you just kind of a taboo topic, or is it something you from time to time kind of see where Mike's headspace is as it relates to that kind of thing?
No, I'm open and honest with all the players. You know, when Mike is here, I want him to be the best version of himself when he's here. You know, this is no different than Zach, you know, a couple years ago, and CD. Like, this is big business. This is a National Football League, and there's negotiations, and there's things that go into it, and we all have advisors. I have an agent. You know, we have advisors, we have agents, and so it's our job to support all of these guys. Again, take Micah's name out of it. You know, it doesn't matter. Insert name, and I'm going to support him and talk to him. And, hey, what do you need from me? What can I be doing for you? Hey, I'd love to have you here for this. If you can't be here, I get it. It's all voluntary. And I think people do well with very clear, bright lines. And if I'm calling a player and begging him to come, but yet I don't take the time to go and support him at a foundation event or go take him to dinner, then do I really have what's in their best interest? And if our players ever say I don't have their best interest, then I'm not doing my job, and I'm not being authentic to myself.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.